Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk. There's three of us here. I'm including Snoop on that. But we're a group of law enforcement professionals. Can you imagine Snoop Dogg being a law enforcement professional? Oh, my gosh. We'd have a lot of missing evidence in the evidence locker. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Now, there are some people listening to the audio portion of the show. They don't have the benefit of the video, so let me explain what I'm talking about. We've got Dr. Travis Yates on the show, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. He's got a Santa hat on, and in his house, the way he rolls, he celebrates Christmas by, and I just learned this, he goes out and he adds to his Snoop Dogg, I don't want to use the word paraphernalia because people might get the wrong idea. Well, I'm on a roll today with jokes, but Snoop Dogg collectibles. And so he's got a miniature Snoop Dogg collectible on his desk, on camera, with a Santa Claus hat on, very similar to what Travis, Dr. Yates, is wearing himself. I'm just kind of fascinated with that. Your mic's muted, Dr. Yates, but
we look very similar, as you can tell. He's got a smaller head than me. We have a similar look.
That's hard to believe, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And the gold glasses that Snoop's wearing right now. I've always wanted to have Snoop on the show, and my Christmas wish has arrived.
It's come through.
Yes. All right. So welcome to the dog, welcome to the show. Well, listen, we're getting off to a good start. Welcome to the show, Dr. Yates and Snoop Dogg. I think that we're being joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, retired FBI whistleblower. That's right. And so, yeah, we're covering the raid. Yeah, I saw the little animation right
there.
That was a whistle. Most people would have missed it, but no, he's on the show with Snoop Dogg. And did you see what he did, Sheriff? Did you see the little animation?
That was a whistle, Sheriff.
That was not a police whistle. I think that was a doobie. It was an imaginary doobie. Yeah. All right. So thanks.
I have a great Christmas story about that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Well, growing up, I was probably 14 or 15, and we were going through one of the malls where I grew up, and my mom saw, do you know what a stone is? Instead of a roach clip, it looks kind of like a little turtle shell. It's about as big as a 50-cent piece, and you can stick the...
I know exactly.
My mom saw one of those, and she thought it had a buckeye leaf on it, and since we were in Ohio, she thought my brother would really like that. She was going to buy it for him. I had to explain to her what it was.
Well, Chip, on my bingo card, I did not have this or what the sheriff just did. I didn't have that either. So we started off great.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take that and run. All right. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We appreciate it. Hey, guys, a shout out to our sponsors. We've got our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since May the 5th. Also, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, my Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're actually streaming to over a million followers right now. And with the help of Dr. Travis Yates, I think that's about to grow a little bit larger. We've also got TwoBells.com. They've built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You get cool shirts like what I'm wearing. Coffee mugs, all this stuff. So guys, check that out. And also FishOrlandoBass.com. Now, our buddy Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So look, here's the scoop. Here's the deal. Next time you go to Disney in Orlando and you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids, give them the credit card. Give them, if you're giving them cash, it better be a lot because, you know, they charge an arm and a leg. You're going to save money by just simply bowing out of that experience and going to the Fish Orlando Bass experience, doing the bass fishing charter with Zach, he's also offers alligator hunting. So you get to hunt the wild Florida alligator, but you're not killing it. You're just catching and relocating the Florida alligator. I piqued the curiosity of the sheriff there. Did you see that one eyebrow go up there? You know, he's got his knife, you know, that we sent him. And I know what he's thinking right now. He's thinking, you know, I can tackle that Florida alligator with this sucker. That's right. Out the front. Look at that automatic knife. You got to love it. All right. So anyhow, so check that out. We've also got a big thank you to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, our former lawman.com, and Travis Jates, our very own, with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We've got LawOfficer.com, Flock exposed. Flock cameras? Wow. Footage found streaming live on the internet. We're going to explain that. And then we've got an article by Travis Yates himself at lawofficer.com. Are police reforms increasing force? As a question. Fascinating article. I can't wait to cover it. And then we got breaking news. FBI raids the home of a Secret Service agent in a tax fraud investigation. They don't give the name of the agent, but I know who he is. And we'll talk more about this later. It's wild. I'll wait to say that till later. Armed robbery suspect shot by a Houston police officer after holding a store employee hostage. This is a wild viral video, guys, that we're definitely have to talk about. A suspect kills himself when he crashes intentionally into a garbage truck during a police pursuit. And the garbage truck happened to have a dash cam on it. So you don't want to miss this. And then I bet he'll never do that again. And then you got boys share an AI generated nude images of 13-year-old girl. And she's the one that gets expelled from school. Curious what you guys, how you guys feel about that. Because the school is not taking responsibility. Body cam footage shows it's a Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper who locates two kidnapped children on I-70. This is what it's all about, guys. This is why we do what we do. And we need more videos like this to remind the public about, you know, why we're here. So guys, if you're ready, we got 4 minutes exactly before we go to the radio portion or I guess go to the commercial break. Let's start off with lawofficer.com, Flock exposed, footage found streaming live on the internet. I didn't see this anywhere else. I only found it at lawofficer.com, thanks to Travis Yates. And so using nothing more than a commercial search engine, a YouTuber of all people discovered dozens, and I said dozens, of surveillance camera admin interfaces broadcasting live and archived footage with no encryption and no login required. That means everybody can get a hold of it. The number quickly grew to nearly 70 exposed devices, many of which were Flock Condor cameras that use artificial intelligence to detect and they track people as they move. So you can watch this delayed, you know, archive video and live video on the internet. It's available. It's crazy. This guy's name is Ben Jordan. He's a YouTuber and he's in the technology, but he accessed the feed, said it felt disturbingly casual. He shared his findings with security researcher John Gaines, who recently found numerous vulnerabilities in several other models of Flock automated license plate readers. So those LPRs, license plate readers, is what the acronym stands for. You point click and he's scrolling through 31 days of video. It's like a streaming service is what it appears like. Families are loading groceries into Lowe's parking lot. There's a guy leaving his house in New York, a woman jogging alone in a forest trail in Georgia. And the Condor, you know, the Flock Condor AI would automatically zoom in on anything that resembled a person or an object. And in one moment, he watched a grown man take a private judgment-free turn on a swing set. And it kind of goes from there. Within minutes, our guy Jordan cross-referenced a face. He found a professional medical and financial details of the individual. License plate he spotted on a camera could be used to link in to a license plate app, which reveals the home address of the people. Public police logs in some cities, they list the names and addresses, ages, and arrest reports that map directly back to the footage. It's crazy. The risks are apparent, and they expose this, what they call the fragile gap between deployed surveillance and basic cybersecurity. So, you know, I know we get maybe some security enhancements from doing this kind of stuff, but the question is it worth it? Do we need to be doing something differently, Dr. Yates?
Well, this is the sort of iffy road we're down, right? I mean, surveillance may help in a lot of areas. I mean, there's no question Flock has helped in investigations. It's helped catch, you know, you name it, the type of criminal. But it also has to be done correctly, right? And are Americans willing to give up certain freedoms to be able to accomplish that? And I think each community is going to make that decision. There's been a ton of controversy in some communities with Flock, and this probably isn't going to help. I think the thing that disturbed me more, in the article, it's not saying that Flock is a terrible thing. But how it's being deployed in certain areas obviously is concerning. But I think what kind of concerned me when I, because I watched that entire video, Flock's response to it was so flippant, you know, like, hey, this is, we don't think this is, I mean, it was so flippant that it was kind of funny. The guy read the response on one of the Flock's cameras, right? And he, and then recorded it from Flock's cameras for the video. I think if I was Flock, and by the way, I think Lobster, I mean, Flock is a powerful entity. We'll be hearing from him, but I don't think you can question this guy on video did all this, right? So it's not really a question of whether they were live cameras or not. The question, I think, is Flock's response. Flock should be moving very rapidly to secure these cameras up, and I just didn't see that, unfortunately.
Well, good way that good start, guys. Stick with us. More of the commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, hey, we buy a ton of gear. And when you throw the online option, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody, but what is really most important here, it's about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, we're not done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code. It's Radio15. That'll get you 15% off your next order at Gauls.com for most purchases. Again, that's Radio15. So Radio15. Type that in order to get 15% off. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're giving away two of the day. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. All right, guys, and now we're talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, of course, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers not just tens of thousands of times, I think it's 250,000 times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip, Mark, Travis, and Snoop sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. We've also got Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. And as you can see, Snoop Dogg in rare form today. We've been talking about Flock cameras. One of the surveillance cameras that a YouTuber recently found available online. You can watch archive videos. You can watch live videos. And a lot of this has got, you know, AI recognition, you know, technology in it and stuff. And the question is really, at what point, you know, you compromise, you know, to increase security through means like this. You know, there are compromises that you make, especially when you've got like cloud storage and things are available online and stuff, and you've got people that can cross-reference information. You know, I continue to watch more of that video that you had, you know, on your site, lawofficer.com, Travis, and, you know, he was finding out that someone had just had a medical scan for this, and they had just driven 45 minutes to get to a certain location. They went to a store, and what they had purchased at the store, he's watching footage of police escorting a guy that's having a mental crisis breakdown into a squad car. I mean, all these things are going on. You can cross-reference the data and find out information about these people. So at what point, you know, do you consider not doing it, I guess? You know, I don't know. Sheriff?
Well, Flock cameras are in the news in the state of Washington. They have made them subject to public records requests. And I know that the majority of the Flock cameras that were in use in the state of Washington have been turned off because of that. So Flock really needs to get out ahead of this. I think they need to employ two or three or four senior law enforcement executives, because I don't think they take the security of the data that they're collecting seriously. And flock cameras are a game changer, especially in a state like Washington that is so severely undermanned with the lack of law enforcement officers throughout the state. It is a game changer. You basically have an officer on a corner 24/7, 365 that's out there observing, but you got to safeguard that data and you have to safeguard the ability to access that data. And if you're not doing that, then you're going to lose the technology.
Yeah, I love the way you put that because you're so right. And I don't know why you can't safeguard the data. It doesn't make any sense. So,
It's a big argument within the state of Washington because Flock is the one that collects that data. And just like using NCIC or NIBRS or whatever, we cannot access that data unless we have a bona fide law enforcement purpose to use it. We just can't search, hey, they're hot blondes in Corvettes and see what comes up. You actually have to have a law enforcement purpose. And then once we download that data, then it is subject to public records. But the state of Washington has ruled that everything that Flock collects is subject to public records, which has led to estranged wives being searched by their estranged husbands and stuff like it. You laugh, but locally here in Walla Walla, we got one of those public records requests and we were told that we had to give up the data, even though the data wasn't in our possession, it was in Flock's possession on the cloud. But now, you know, that data can be hacked into or is just freely out there is scary. So we really need, Flock really needs to tighten down the controls on that and get control of that data.
And the sheriff just gave the reason why Flock cameras are not sold to firefighters or Snoop Dogg, the hot blonde soap.
You know, that reminds me of a story. So look, here we go. Well, look, it's close to Christmas. Christmas Eve's tomorrow. And so I gotta tell a story. So working when I was a detective in Tampa and when I was working in intelligence, I was doing organized crime, public corruption, and adult entertainment, but all three of those were intertwined. I'll give you a perfect example. So there was a first of its kind website called voyeurdorm.com. Now, people might remember this. Travis, if anyone says they remember this, I'll be concerned. But anyhow, Snoop might remember this. But anyhow, voyeurdorm.com. And they had, you know, college age girls. They were putting on shows for guys. They had rooms in every, they had cameras in every room and they just kind of went about their life and they would, you know, do everything, shower, go to the bathroom, all this stuff on camera and stuff, be able to converse with the guys on the camera and stuff. But this is the first, let me think about when this would have been. This would have been in the this is probably around 98, 99 is when Voyeur Dorm was around. So I found Voyeur Dorm. It was in a residence in a place called Wellswood and within the city limits of Tampa. And I found it, I tracked it down. And when I went in with a licensing inspector, I didn't have a partner back then. I didn't have Brett yet. I was smart enough to know not to go in these places by myself. So I grabbed Keith Schramm, who was the head of the licensing division with the city of Tampa. And that was kind of cool because he had a licensing hat on, which allowed me to do some extra stuff. And we went in there, and I mean, they were swarming with attorneys. But I mean, within minutes, we had all these attorneys showing up, you know, Frank Dellagrana and Scott Boardman. And I don't think Luke LaRoe was there, but all these guys were there. But anyhow, it was a game changer. We had to go to court and trying to shut these guys down, you know, for what they were doing and stuff. So that brings back memories, you know, about people being, but of course these guys were having to pay to watch the show and stuff, but it was the, of course now you got stuff like that everywhere. But they're all in Washington state, but yeah, I rest, you know.
I'm okay. Just impressed that you think that I was in college in the 90s. Let's just say that the internet was not invented, Chip, when I was in college, okay?
All right, well, I mean, look, I graduated from college in 1983 is when I graduated from USF and I came on the police department that same year. So when I was 21. So we're probably close to the same age, I would imagine. So, all right. So if you guys are okay with it, I know we got 30 seconds. So I'm just going to whet the appetite for the next story. It's a main topic. So it's deep. LawOfficer.com again. Yes. Are police reforms increasing force? Well, that doesn't make any sense. How in the world can that be possible? Well, Travis H is going to tell you in a minute. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. A beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about everybody's favorite subject, long guns, except the sheriff can't get a hold of them in Washington State. Yes, they're born from an aerospace engineering company, so they know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with what they call soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. Now you guys can get your hands on the Primo stuff and their M5 AR three-way platform spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block and I'm your host. We're joined by Walla Walla County Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Washington State, and also Dr. Travis Shades, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. And Sheriff, we were talking about knives on the break, and you were talking about a video, which I wasn't aware of. So what do you have available there?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact details, but they were booking a guy in and ended up in a fight.
Oh, CBT. It was a CBT. It was doing a breath test, right?
Yes.
And the cop had to stab the guy in order to win the fight, correct?
Yeah, I think he either lost his gun, the bad guy got his gun or had a gun. I can't remember which. And so came down to a knife fight, which, boy, we don't want to get there, do we?
No, we don't. I don't remember there being a gun in that. I think that the officer, I suspect, just by knowing the way those things work, he probably had his gun secured outside, but he had a knife. Now, I didn't see him grab a knife anywhere, so I'm assuming that he had a knife, that the cop had a knife on him, that he did not check in, but that saved the day. And the bad guy was being uncooperative with him during the CBT. They're waiting for him to blow or the time limit, or maybe he's going to blow again. I can't remember. But the guy stood up and basically said, making some threatening gestures. And he basically, the cop knew one of them was going to end up dying. And so then when the body cam becomes dislodged and then it comes back on, I counted no less than 20 puncture holes in the guy's back. He had, the shirt was like full, it was just full of blood and lifted up, and you could see the there were slashes and punctures all over and the guy ended up dying. He ended up expiring. And I actually reached out to that cop to try to get him on the show through his father was a retired law enforcement, I believe. And but I never heard back from him because I was trying to hook him up with a new knife and to find out the details of the knife that he had that he used during the fight. But I never did get word. But do you know, was that in Washington State? Do you remember? Or
I thought it was in Washington State over on the west side. I can't remember exactly where.
Okay. Yeah, that was a wild story. So on this one, lawofficer.com, or police reforms increasing force, written by our own Travis Yates. So it starts off talking about law enforcement. They have a problem. And if leaders don't start leading, the problems could manifest in the more officer injuries and death. Now, a lot of people say, hey, how in the world could that be? I mean, are we not... we've got, de-escalation and all these other things. It's not like solving the problem. The quick answer would be no. The latest drama comes from the Chicago Tribune, where everybody seems to be confused, according to our author, Major Travis Yates, as to why the use of force within the Chicago Police Department has risen every year since 2021, despite reform after reform. And of course, I thought police reform was the answer, right? So in talking about the reforms, Dr. Yates goes on to say that no leader should emulate CPD Chicago, and I think we all can agree with that. That is an understatement. Here are just a few of the policy requirements that are code for harming police officers if attempted against violent suspects. So listen to this, guys. De-escalation is a core principle that includes slowing down, using time, continual communication, persuasion, and warnings. And then trauma-informed communication, it must be used along with a respectful tone. And then voluntary compliance, it must be sought before you even use force. And then deadly force can only be used as a last resort. Verbal warnings shall be given before force is used. Carotid restraints, I'm a huge fan, or deadly force, even though it's actually not. Golly, that carotid restraint has saved my butt so many times. Foot chases are prohibited if the risk outweighs the apprehension of benefit. And when in doubt, officers are encouraged to contain, in parentheses, the suspect. Now, on paper, and in the mind of the activist, all this sounds like Disneyland, but of course, Chicago, he points out, is not Disneyland. If you believe officers are more scared of the policy than violent criminals, he says, than violent criminals with a gun, armed criminals, he says that you're actually right. And in one of Dr. Travis Yates' recent seminars, and this is where I love it, Seconds for Survival, which I wanted to talk about, officers knew in that particular instance, and there was a video involved, that the suspect had a gun and he was shooting it just before they got there. And if you can actually stomach watching the video, goes on to say the officers followed policy to the letter. They refrained from a foot pursuit and they contained the shooting suspect while being very nice to the guy who moments earlier was shooting a gun in a neighborhood. And it goes on to say that just two cops ended up being shot in that scenario. So, you know, he supposed that was a win because that's what the agency wanted, right? And now that you see the result of insane reforms like what we just described to you that have actually never been proven to work. So how do we even get there in the first place, Dr. Yates? Let's get back to the utter shock of the increase in use of force. And the reason reforms aren't reducing force is simple. The reforms don't reduce the use of force. They actually increase it. He goes on to explain some things that he can do a better job than I can of it. Fascinating article. It's what we need to hear. Everybody needs to hear it, especially our police leaders, though. Travis Yates.
Well, thank you, Chip, for discussing the article. And I didn't think I would be the one sort of championing this, and because I've been in the leadership space for quite a while. But then I kind of got to thinking, if this is a leadership issue, how is the safety of your officers and the policies you're passing not a leadership issue? Just very few people seem to be talking about it. And I don't want to trash reforms. Like, law enforcement should be reforming. The problem is, and I think the sheriff will agree with me, until about 10 years ago, we made reforms based on court decisions and evidence and these things that we knew would work. And then recently we just seemed to just change things to change them without any evidence whatsoever. And it's gotten us here today and to a crescendo where since 2020, officer assaults have increased exponentially every single year. We've never seen a 5-year stretch like that. And if you believe in de-escalation, and I think there's probably some sound practices to that in certain situations. Well, I just want people to understand there's no evidence for that. And I'll just read this quick quote from you from Dr. Robin Engel. This is from a peer-reviewed research. Quote, de-escalation training has not been subjected to rigorous scientific testing. That's pretty important to know because we're all using it. We're all putting it in policy, just like you just read from Chicago. At the same time, it's increasing use of force and increasing officer injury. Well, Travis, how can you say that? Well, I've actually pulled the data from the states that have mandated de-escalation inside policy. Every state I pulled, officer injury has increased. Now, I just don't have use of force numbers because a lot of people don't track that, but if officer injury has increased, I can guarantee you use of force has increased. Virginia increased 123%. Washington increased 42%. Maryland increased 12%. This is before and after their mandated policies from the state legislation. So I think we have a huge problem in this profession that nobody's acknowledging. And I have an interest in reducing injuries, reducing higher levels of force, and making things better. The problem is they don't call that reform. Reforms are making things worse. So I think law enforcement loves to use this term evidence-based. It's sort of a cliche, but it's very odd that I don't see any of that surrounding some of these so-called reforms.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with questioning it. Just because we've been doing it doesn't mean it's right either. Sheriff Mark?
Well, I'm not going to argue with the doctor. I am going to point out a couple things that I think are flawed in the way that this comes about. In the state of Washington, pointing your gun at somebody is considered a use of force. Me personally, shooting somebody is a de-escalation tactic. So you're exactly right. I think part of the problem is that we no longer have the professionals doing police reform. We have outside agitators, for lack of a better word. We just had a convicted killer in the state of Oregon put on the police reform review board. So those are the kind of people that you're dealing with that are making these decisions on how policing is done. instead of, you know, the professionals making those decisions. I liken it all the time to if you had surgeons, if you had somebody that had the wrong leg cut off, if you had somebody that had a loved one that died during surgery, if those are the people that are on your surgery review boards, they have no knowledge of what it takes to complete a surgery. They shouldn't be on there. It should be other doctors. It should be peers. Did you follow proper protocols? You know, in the state of Washington, it's time, distance, and cover. That's the mandate, that time, distance, cover. We don't have a choice but to implement the policies that they implement into law. And so instead of the professionals making those decisions, like good people like Dr. Yates here, making those decisions on how we should reform ourselves, you're getting people that have never done the job making the decisions on how we should police.
That's hard to argue with. Final words, Dr. Yates?
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. I think the sheriff, as usual, just pinpoints right to the issue. No profession can survive if the actual experts in the profession aren't part of the decision making. And so that's why you've seen sort of this downgrade in law enforcement. You go, well, how do you know that, Travis? Well, crime is up, recruiting is down, retention is down, morale is down. All the metrics that any business would follow in our profession are struggling. And so thankfully, we have good people like the sheriff and other good leaders out there that are going to bring some common sense to this. Like I said, we should not throw out de-escalation. De-escalation, by the way, I know this for a fact. I've looked at the last 5 years of public domain videos. De-escalation works in nonviolent encounters. But in encounters where violence is potential, it's officially never worked in 5 years. I've watched every public domain video out there, and we keep trying it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, guys, coming up on our third commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course itself has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're a sheriff or a chief and you have your own agency, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And my name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. And also, we've got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. And let me just go ahead and just get it out there. Brian Willard has just won a $50 Gold's gift card giveaway. And Brian Willard has also won the two Bells gift. So we're going to be doing one more Gold's gift card giveaway for $50. So Brian, I've got your information down for those two giveaways. And hey, as of right now, he's won those two. So I got one more $50 Gold's gift card giveaway that I'm going to be doing. So Brian, you're not eligible for that, but you just won a $50 and a $20 giveaway. So congratulations on that. So as long as you guys haven't won in the last 90 days, make sure you enter that contest. And guys, I know that we've been talking about some stuff that's been on lawofficer.com, and we've got an update, and we've also got some video components that we're waiting to hold. So are you guys ready to move on, or? All right. So let's go ahead and keep this party going. So I know we haven't had a video yet, but let me just get to this real quick. The postmillennial.com breaking news, FBI raids the home of a Secret Service agent in a tax fraud investigation. So there, don't give the name of the agent. It's not hard to find out who it is, though. It's an alleged tax and wire fraud case, according to a new report from Real Clear Politics. So it involves millions of dollars in donations as well as grants. The raid took place on or around the day of December the 8th. Multiple sources told the outlet that in the fraud scheme that is linked to the Secret Service agent, the official accepted donations to a charity that claims to support inner city youth as well as domestic violence victims. The Secret Service agent is on unpaid administrative leave, which is not a good sign. And he's already been stripped of his of security clearance. That's not good. And but the agent has not been arrested. In addition to the fraud charges, the Secret Service agent could face internal insider threat allegations over poor judgment. And they talk about it being bigger than the 2012 prostitution scandal. Because agents are trained to investigate tax and bank wire fraud. Anyone involved knew what they were doing was illegal, according to this. And also this guy, they say that he is on the VP, J.D. Vance's detail. The charity was started, though, prior to the Donald Trump administration. The agent in question was listed as a founder as well as the chairman of the charity's board of directors, according to Real Clear Politics. The charity on tax documents claims that it provides emergency assistance to survivors of domestic violence, financial literacy, preventing childhood obesity, stuff like that, families affected by HIV, AIDS. And then it gives states, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and Georgia. It talks about monies they've taken in initially, over $350,000 in grants and donations, but they paid out $23,000 only in salaries. And then they took in over $800,000 in grants, but only dished out $154,000 in salaries. And then finally, nearly $1 million, but paid out only $267,000 in salaries. And of course, these 501c3s, you don't want a surplus of money. You don't want to be, you want to get rid of the money that you're getting as a 501c3. I'm looking at the name of the agency right now and the guy. I'll tell you, when I was looking at the board of directors, I finally found a white person. It was a white female that was on it, and I found an Asian. And but it's not a Black Lives Matter organization. But there were just some, when you're looking at the organization, some clear things that stick out at you when you're looking at it. So I'm curious where this thing is going to go. I'm not going to name the agent because the other agencies are not. But it's not looking good. Any commentary or surprises on this, guys, before we go to our first story with a video component? If no one wants to touch it, well, Sheriff, go ahead.
You're always surprised. I'm always surprised. But as one of my FBI colleagues used to say, Mark, the only thing that surprises me is that you're still surprised. So,
well, you have faith in humankind. And the kind part of humankind, because the kindness side of humankind, you know. But I'm with you, Sheriff. So, all right. Well, look, moving on. Look, there is a story with a video. We have just enough time to cover it with a video component involving a hostage. Guys, this was just wild. I mean, I had to watch it more than once, I'll be honest with you. So you can find it at rumble.com or favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better. Armed robbery suspect shot by Houston police officer after holding a store employee hostage.
Fucking door, dude. Gosh damn.
Let me see your fucking hands. Hold it here. Let me see your fucking hands right now. Shots fired. What's this big down?
It goes down fast, guys. So the shooting happened around 9:00 in the morning. Houston police officers responded to a check cashing business in the area. They get alerted to a robbery alarm just after 8:30 in the morning. So if the alarm goes off at 8:30 and they don't get there till about 9:00, that's a 30-minute response time to an armed robbery. Something's got to be up with that because the dude's still there, you know, but I'm just pointing that out. So when they get to the scene, the robbery suspect has a female employee at gunpoint in the store. Glass doors, windows, you can see inside. They see him and he's coming out of the door while we have at least two Houston cops there. He exits, he's holding her as hostage, using her as a human shield. At some point after he exits, officers fire at him and they actually hit him. I mean, I don't know how he thought with two officers there in different positions that he could avoid being, you know, shot, but he's got a gun in his hand too. So officers and first, well, look, they leave this out, but he starts running away from the officers. He's still armed. They take him out. Yeah. They're shooting him in the back, completely justified. And he goes down, he survives. I can't believe it. So officers and first responders, they aid him. He goes to the hospital and he's expected to recover. The hostage was not injured. That happens. I mean, sometimes they do get injured or shot. So thank God that the female hostage did not get injured. No officers ended up being shot. So everybody's able to attend Christmas festivities with the families. The suspect is reportedly a man between the ages of 25 and 30. I don't know why they don't name him. And the officer who shot the suspect is a 6-year veteran with the Houston Police Department. So there you go. A commentary on the shooting, guys. I enjoyed watching this. It was, the bad guy, Travis, had some guts jumping out from behind that glass. You know, he was protected until he came outside. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we train and train and train, but boy, those instances like that, I'm glad we hired the right people for the right moment, because a lot of things could have gone the wrong way. Everything was very, very fortunate. But yeah, it's a must-watch video. So when you bring a show out in a couple of days, people need to watch the edited version of that, Chip.
Yeah, that'll be out tomorrow, 9 o'clock on a Rumble channel, 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And yeah, guys, and this is why scenario-based training. When I say scenario-based training, I'm talking about in your head. So everywhere you go, whatever you do, you should always be thinking about what you would do in a certain situation. And I can guarantee you that you will almost never, likely never, have a scenario go down as you've envisioned. But hopefully, you've thought close enough to the scenario that where you know what to do and you can get the job done safely. Sheriff Kreider.
Every law enforcement executive in the United States should show this to the people that control their budget and tell them, I don't have enough money for training. And this is why I need more money for training.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So anyhow, guys, yeah, watch the video. But this just goes again, guys, these cops, I can just about guarantee you, they've thought about close enough to scenarios like this going down and they knew what to do. And just because you have more than one cop, doesn't mean that there's not a risk of shooting the innocent, the hostage, or the other cop, you know, because you know, there's two of you guys, bad guy and the hostage are between you guys during the string of fire, you know. So I'm glad they had the guts to shoot the guy in the back as he's running away with the firearm. There goes Snoop. But, you know, as he's running away, and because he's could you imagine this guy? He's already grabbed one hostage. Could you imagine him grabbing somebody else or shooting someone else? And then it would be the fault of the officers for letting me get away. I do want to cover this guy that's running from the police, and he kills himself and crashing into a garbage truck during a brief pursuit. And we got the district attorney, Deshae Morrow. They're talking about not filing criminal charges against the officers. All they did was chase this guy, Steve Mecklenburg, in Niagara. And we got Special Agent Lindy Lur involved in the Wisconsin Department of Justice, but Niagara Police Officer Rihanna Karn, I'm assuming female, chasing this guy, 75 miles an hour. He had done some kind of texting or something saying he was going to like drive intentionally and kill himself. He picked a good enough object to do a garbage truck head on collision. They show the car afterwards and show it go down. Any commentary on this, guys?
Yeah, I sort of knew the answer before I watched the video, but you will not win against a garbage truck.
You don't think? Well, Sheriff Kreider, do you think this bad guy will ever do this again?
Yeah, absolutely not. It's a great de-escalation technique is using a garbage truck. Make sure you put that into your data.
I will.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, he has no more Christmases in store for him, but, you know, he's off the street and the American people are safer because of that. So you got to love that part of it. Hey, another great show. Thanks so much for being on the show, Sheriff Mark Kreider and also Dr. Travis Yates. I did want to mention our sponsors, you know, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3. Please support them. They go to great lengths to help out cops that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And Dr. Yates, if you want more information about him and the courageous police leader, all you have to do is go to LinkedIn in order to get that information. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go, of course, to great lengths to bring this show and this good quality content to you guys as well. So please do that. And I'll tell you, our sponsors are, we've got Gauls.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearner.com, on Medicare.life, SafeGuardRecruiting, Two Bells and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Please support them.